You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 20th, 2020, Governor Northam in Virginia had said, do not come in here looking to cause trouble. And he warned Intel had indicated that there would be threats and carried out threats. We're talking about this lobby day in Virginia, a chance for those against the changes in the Second Amendment rules inside the state legislature, because now both houses of that Virginia House, controlled by the Democrats, as well as the governor's office, Second Amendment enthusiasts rallying peacefully, but there have been concerns that some would come from outside causing trouble, and the general consensus of the mainstream media is it would be gun-toting Americans that would cause the trouble. So far, glad we can report, it's peaceful. Hopefully it stays that way. President Trump's legal team filing a lengthy response to charges that he abused his office and obstructed Congress. They say all of this effort to remove him from office is nothing more than a charade, and calling all the senators to reject it. 110 pages, but basically that's what it comes down to. In the meantime, the president did tweet out himself today that congressional Democrats have zero fairness. He said they did not want John Bolton and others to testify in the House. They were in way too much of a rush. Now they want them all in the Senate. Not supposed to be that way. So the New York Times has an endorsement. It endorsed a candidate for the White House. A Democrat candidate. A woman. Well, wait a minute. Not just one woman. In a rare dual endorsement, the New York Times endorsing Senator Elizabeth Warren, that's not going to sit well with Bernie and his crowd, and also Senator Klobuchar. She's a lot more moderate. How did they come up with going somewhat as far left as Warren, along with Bernie, basically, and then say, well, as a fall gap, we'll go to Klobuchar? Why couldn't they have the courage to simply say this one or that one? Because they don't know. They don't know the American public on the Democrats, the leftists. They don't know. They're confused. They do not know. But the New York Times trying to be on the side of whatever will happen. So why not endorse both of them? Why don't you endorse the entire field? None of them will anyway. None of them will win, but never mind. There is support for President Trump on American farmers, and it's going up. A new survey, the Farm Journal Pulse poll, shows that President Trump getting an approval rating of 83%. That's a point higher than the previous. Only 18% of farmers disapprove of President Trump. And President Trump's border agencies are building some de facto barriers for illegal immigration, even within nations such as Guatemala. U.S. officials have been deployed to Guatemala to block migrants from Honduras. That's according to a report from the Associated Press. Guatemalan police, accompanied by U.S. immigration officers, sweeping up a majority of some 300 migrants, loading them on buses, taking them back to the Honduran border, thereby dashing their plans to have another caravan make its way through Mexico. We have now found pallets of bedding, food, and medical supplies sitting wrapped in plastic, unused in a warehouse for 2 years since Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico. Remember all the cries that President Trump wasn't doing enough, not sending everything? The governor of Puerto Rico at the time said, no, he's doing everything we ask. But then you had a Puerto Rican mayor who was against Trump because she's a Democrat. And now they got a Puerto Rican that is also upset with what's happening. But in this case, they're firing various officials over recent developments and the fact that they have not been releasing these items and had them in the warehouse all this time. Didn't release them. Ukraine now insisting that Iran hand over that black box flight recorder, that passenger jet shot down by Iranian forces. Reportedly, Iran was going to. Now they've decided, don't think so right now. Oh, and a threat at the Davos summit of the world's political and business elites in Switzerland. Here comes Greta Thunberg again, saying we're seeing no signs whatsoever that real climate change is coming. The 17-year-old is demanding that something be done. He said, this is just the beginning. You haven't seen anything. We can assure you of that. In other words, if there's not any climate change, I'm going to throw a hissy fit. And she's already doing it. And it's just one of many. Send her to her room for a while.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So coming up in this hour, you remember the other day when Senator McNally referred to CNN's reporter as a liberal hack? Oh, the reaction. Oh, my God. The jaws dropping. Oh, she called him a disgusting name, and she never called to apologize. And Chris Cuomo, CNN, turned around and called her a punk. I haven't heard him apologize either. We're going to get into that because it's still flying around in the air, and I do mean flying. And, of course, this is a day to remember and honor Dr. Martin Luther King. I want to play again part of that famous I Have a Dream speech. It's worth hearing again. I don't have time for all of it, but we are going to hear some excerpts of it because I believe in that dream as he expressed it. And you're going to hear from his niece, Alveda King, and how she thinks Martin Luther King would really like Donald Trump. Now, that's her opinion, but I want you to hear it. And then a story of determination in the face of a disturbing, threatening life event. It's a story of faith. I'll share with you a little bit later. So, and I've got to mention while we're talking about Dr. Martin Luther King, Joe Biden, you see what Joe Biden did over the weekend? He goes before a mostly black congregation in Columbia, South Carolina, on the eve of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and he speaks against racism, which is fine, but then lumps Trump in with the KKK. They have no shame. They have no shame. No facts and no shame. But never let the facts interfere with a good story, right? But let's get to who should get the Democrat nod to carry the banner for the Democrats up against Donald Trump. New York Times deciding for you. The New York Times editorial board has spoken. I want to read a couple of the clips here, and then I want you to hear from their choice. The article begins, the editorial board. American voters must choose between three sharply divergent visions of the future. The incumbent president, Donald Trump, is clear about where he is guiding the Republican Party. Well, white nativism at home. White nativism? What is that? Oh, that's something coined by the New York Times. An American first, unilateralism abroad. Well, he was elected to be our president, not the president of France. And I am an American nationalist as well. Not white nationalist, an American nationalist. I'm for this country first, as I believe most of you are. They also go in and say Trump is all about brazen corruption, escalating cultural wars. Who's responsible for all that? Anyway, then they go on a little deeper and say, on the Democratic side, an essential debate is underway between two visions that may define the future of the party and perhaps the nation. Some of the party view President Trump as an aberration and believe that a return to a more sensible America is possible. Then there are those who believe that President Trump was a product of political and economic systems so rotten that they must be replaced. Still deeper in the New York Times editorial opinion. Still deeper it reads, choosing who should face off against Mr. Trump also means acknowledging that Americans are confronted with these three models for how to govern this country, not two. And then goes on to say it's a privilege of us on the editorial board to spend more than a dozen hours talking to candidates, asking them any questions that came to mind. Now is the time to narrow the race. So they go along and they talk about this and that, and they talk about some of the most compelling ideas, not coming from the center of the Democrats, but the left wing. Adding it's a testament to the cause of Bernie Sanders, but then points out Sanders would be 79 when he assumed office, and after an October heart attack, his health is a serious concern. Bernie, are you reading this? Oh, this could be the big one. This could be the big one. If Bernie Sanders is reading the New York Times saying his health is a serious concern when he continues to insist, I am perfectly healthy. You don't even raise a question of health of Biden. He'll challenge you to 100 push-ups. You know that. But Sanders, they're pointing out on the editorial board of New York Times, you're 79, Bernie, as if he didn't know that. And you've had an October heart attack. And we have a concern about your health, so we cannot really endorse you, Bernie. And then they add this line. Good news, then, that Elizabeth Warren has emerged as a standard bearer for the Democratic left. So the New York Times endorsing Senator Elizabeth Warren. I want to go back to one of her comments in the last debate. Senator Warren.
We have a chance to unite. Unite as Democrats, but also with independents and Republicans who are sick of living in a country that's working great for the politicians that are taking the money. It's working great for the lobbyists. It's working great for the corporate executives. It's just not working for everyone else. I'm building the grassroots movement, leading the fight. We're going to make this America work for everyone else. That is how we're going to beat Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's how we're going to beat Donald Trump. We're going to all come together, sing Kumbaya. Well, the New York Times didn't say so much about you bringing everybody together. They're talking about how you're with the left, the far, far left, actually. But they had an endorsement. Here are some of the comments. Senator Warren is a gifted storyteller. I give her that. Applause, applause, applause. She is a gifted storyteller. She can tell you how she was raised on an Indian reservation and helped eat elk meat when it came fresh from the... Never mind. But they go on to say she's a gifted storyteller. I keep reading it. So many visions come to my mind. What about yours? If I tell you Senator Warren is a great storyteller, I know you. Yeah, she is. She told the story for years. She was Indian, Native American Indian. And then also said, well, I never used it to my advantage. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And my kids didn't go to any private schools. Liar, liar, pants on fire. They did. And it goes on to say in the New York Times editorial, Senator Warren speaks elegantly of how the economic system is rigged against all but the wealthiest Americans. And she would know, because she's among the wealthiest. So, the New York Times is endorsing Senator Elizabeth Warren to carry the standard bearer for the Democrats, right? Wait a minute. There's another voice to be heard. Here's her comment from the debate, this last Democrat debate.
I am going to be able to stand across from him on that debate stage and say to my friends in Iowa, the Midwest is not flyover country for me. I live here. I'm going to be able to look at him and say, you've treated these workers and farmers like poker chips. For me, these are my friends and these are my neighbors.
And those are the words of Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. And the New York Times points out that Joe Biden has a lead in national polls, maybe a measure of familiarity as much as voter intention. His central pitch to voters is that he can beat Donald Trump. And then they add this, Biden is 77. It's time for him to pass the torch to a new generation of political leaders. Well, they just dissed Bernie because of his age, and they said, we're going with Warren. But they're not quite done. The New York Times editorial board decided, well, maybe we need somebody else in the center. And Elizabeth is too far to the left like Bernie. And then they write this. Good news, then, that Amy Klobuchar has emerged as standard bearer for the Democrat center. Her vision goes beyond the incremental. Given the polarization in Washington and beyond, the best chance to enact many progressive plans could be under a Klobuchar administration. What? The New York Times endorsing Klobuchar? I thought they endorsed Biden. Warren. They did. They endorsed both of them. Their final statement is, Ms. Klobuchar and Ms. Warren right now are the Democrats best equipped to lead the debate. Wow. Can you imagine the chaos inside the New York Times editorial board as they went through this? Well, let's see, what can we do? Bernie's kind of old and he had the heart attack. Okay, let's strike him. But folks want that leftist viewpoint. Well, then I guess we got to put Senator Warren up. Well, but wait a minute. Biden's been polling pretty good too, and that's more moderate. Yeah, but he's kind of old too, 77, and kind of, goes off track sometimes. Well, how about Klobuchar? She's moderate. And a woman. Oh, okay. Can you? I would really have liked to watch the process. This, as they say sometimes, you might enjoy sausage, but you don't want to see how it's made. You might enjoy this New York Times editorial decision or not, but I would like to see how it was made. I want to see it all on the floor. I want to see the comments that went back and forth. And probably the name calling that existed inside the New York Times editorial board meeting as they were trying to decide who are we going to endorse. The New York Times carries weight, by God, and the name we put up there, that will be the next president of the United States. But you're putting two names up there. Now, does this open the door for Klobuchar and Warren to be on the ticket together? Which would want to go second? No way for Indian Warren. The Native American Indian is not going to go second. Not going to do that anymore. I've been second-class citizen all my life as a Native American Indian. Well, at least I claimed I was. I'm not going to be second on the ticket. And Klobuchar, do you think she wants to be operating behind Elizabeth Warren? What voice would she ever have? What we have here is a failure to communicate. That's what we have here. Because of the New York Times board, they don't know. They are totally out to lunch. This shows how chaotic the Democrat Party is at this point. When the old gray lady, the New York Times, cannot come down and firmly say, this is the candidate, and is hedging its bets, they don't know either. They don't know. They're trying to push one or the other, but they don't, you know. You watch one of the football games yesterday? Did you watch Titans and the Chiefs? Did you want both of them to win? Well, they couldn't both win. Only one of them could win. Did you watch San Francisco and Green Bay? Did you want both of those teams to win? Well, they couldn't both win. One of them had to win. And now the Chiefs and San Francisco will face each other. Which one of these, if either, will face Donald Trump? All right, let's go back to calling CNN reporters liberal hacks. All the fallout over that. It just continues to get better and better and better. Sit back, my friend. Get ready to have a good laugh.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
Walk down the door.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the other day, as we documented, Senator Martha McSally, Republican of Arizona, walking through the halls of Congress back to her office or something like that, and one of the CNN correspondents, White House Network correspondent, Manu Raju, tried to ask her a question. Now, I'm going to give him credit for a legitimate question. The question was basically, would you support calling witnesses for the impeachment coming up? Things of that nature. She didn't want to deal with him. She apparently already had enough of him and of his like in general, and so she fired off and simply called him a liberal hack, saying, I'm not answering you. The senator was wrong to do that. I'm going to point that out right now. She should have heard the question, said not answering, or whatever. But I can understand the frustration. That whatever they say, it's going to be used or used against them. And too many times they're assaulted by the mainstream media, Republicans, that is, and conservatives, as opposed to being with the liberal mainstream media. So, hi, Senator Sally, how are you doing? I like your hair, and you had a good dress, whatever. So she called him a liberal hack. And, of course, the outcry from from CNN was unbelievable. I mean, you had Wolf Blitzer say she's just terrible for calling him that, and it's so shameful. Well, over the weekend, CNN's Jake Tapper and some of the other CNN correspondents weighed in on how nasty McSally was.
McSally just calls Manu Raju, respected widely on Capitol Hill by Democrats and Republicans, calls him a nasty name.
Prize-winning, excellent journalist.
There's nobody who looks at him with a real objective lens and sees anything but objectivity.
This is not a biased reporter.
A biased reporter. Yeah, you know, here's the thing about it. I haven't seen enough of Manu Raju to form an opinion, but I haven't been at the end of his questions many times. She called him a liberal hack. Whether or not he is, or the fact that he works for a liberal hack organization. But Senator McSally then over the weekend was asked, do you want to make any apology now? And what her reaction was, well, Here we go.
These CNN reporters, but many of them around the Capitol, they are so biased. They are so in cahoots with the Democrats. They so can't stand the president. And they run around trying to chase, you know, Republicans and ask trapping questions. I'm a fighter pilot. You know, I called it like it is. And that's what we see out of the mainstream media, and especially CNN, every single day. So obviously, I'm gonna tell the truth, and I did it today.
Yeah, and she did. She said, I'm going to put up with it. I'm a fighter pilot, and I'm going to call it the way it is. Yeah, she served in the U.S. Air Force as a female commander of a U.S. Air Force fighter squadron. So I'm glad she's not going to apologize based on the way they're going at it right now. Fox News is making a change. Since Shepard Smith left his post, they've been trying to decide what they're going to do in the afternoon. Now they're naming Bill Hemmer. I kind of like Bill. I think he's pretty solid. I don't think he's going to bring any agenda. He said, in quotes already, I'm not interested in coming in and doing politics. I don't think that way. I'm much more comfortable in the news lane than I would ever be as an opinion anchor. We'll see if that holds up. I know Media Matters is already criticizing it, but that's a progressive organization watching over news organizations, so maybe that's just another feather in his cap that he's good. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and let's focus on Dr. Martin Luther King and Trump being a racist.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
The words as delivered by Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. during the march in 1963 in Washington. I have a dream. And that one part, when all, and obviously I had to do some editing. That's about a 15, 16 minute speech, and you got about 50 seconds of it there. If you have not heard it in its entirety, you want to hear it again, I strongly encourage you to Google and listen to it. But that one part, we will be able to speed up the day when all of God's children, black men and white men, and the same goes for females, but he says black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. But he's putting them all together as God's children, Martin Luther King did in that speech, all of them. And so he's looking for a time when his children will be judged by their character, not their color. his daughter Bernice King, in her last book, written, she would say, the last book that he wrote in his lifetime, he wrote, Where Do We Go From Here, Chaos or Community? That was Martin Luther King's last book, and said in his writing, we are now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now and this unfolding conundrum of life and history. There is such a thing as being too late. Now, she serves as the CEO of the King Center in Atlanta. She preserves her father's legacy and promotes his philosophies of nonviolence, justice, and community, and admits that people are divided today because they're disconnected, something she believes her father would try to change. She says, humanity engaging each other as a human family and our world house greatly depends on us understanding our interrelatedness and interconnectedness. As Daddy said, we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny. Our very survival hinges on this, recognizing this. And she believes that this recognition should lead to bolder actions like courageous conversations addressing the pain of racial, or rather racism and injustice. And she adds, truth is essential. And that I would agree. I have told you that in my naive youth of being a teenager, I didn't think we would ever have racism at this point in my life. I thought surely it would be wiped out. Unfortunately, it's not. Unfortunately, it's not just a lie, but in some areas thriving and is being used. And it's being used, racism, on both sides, regardless of the color of your skin. I've always said, and I continue to insist, if you think you're better than someone else simply because of the color of your skin, you're a racist. And you could be any color and be a racist. Yesterday at the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina, former Vice President Joe Biden was delivering an address mainly to a black congregation. He included stories of the civil rights movement, but then expressed fear that progress made during the 60s was unraveling, at least in part due to President Trump. Biden said, folks, some mornings I wake up and I think it's more like what it must have been in 1920 than 2020. You know what he's doing. He's trying to tie Trump into the KKK. Which was a Democrat gathering at that time. But I'm not interested in reviewing all of that history. I'm just looking at the fact that if we're trying to be uniting in this country, why throw a charge in there like Donald Trump is linked to the KKK? And, of course, he drew upon that misquoted statement out of Charlottesville when President Trump said there are very fine people on both sides. Remember the protest over the statue? Do we take down Confederate statues or do we leave them up? Folks on both sides came to express their opinion. They didn't come to make violence. They came to exercise their First Amendment right and to say, I believe that should come down. Others saying, I believe it should stay up. But then those groups were hijacked by far leftists and far right. Skinheads and neo-Nazis on one side, and then on the other side, the Antifa. And hijacked Black Lives Matter activists as well. The president wasn't talking about either of those two groups. He's talking about the good people that came to have a difference of opinion. You and I can have a difference of opinion. That does not mean you're a racist and you're a hatred and you want to slaughter everyone of a different color. I don't think. If that's your attitude, then that's you. But I don't put you on that label until I see you show that and reflect it. And in the midst of all of this, on Dr. Martin Luther King Day, again, we we continue to have a former vice president try to stir up racial hatred and anger in a black church. Alveda King, Dr. King's niece, directs the Civil Rights for the Unborn program for the organization Priests for Life. And she talked about that speech, Let Freedom Ring. And she also talked about what her father would think about Donald Trump and all these race accusations, which she claims all that news making Trump a racist is absolutely fake. Those are the words of Alveda King. Here's some additional comments.
He's making America great again for everybody, including African Americans, women, babies in the womb, sick people, poor people, elderly people. He's doing that. And to not ask him one question about any of that and just to yell out, hey, Mr. Trump, are you a racist? I mean, my goodness. Is anybody really paying attention to the good that is being done in this country by President Donald John Trump? And we give God the glory, not President Trump. I mean, he's a man. He's a human being. But we have to recognize that the country is getting better under the leadership of President Donald John Trump. He admires Martin Luther King Jr. I thank him for that.
Those are the words of Alveda King, Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece. And, of course, two things she did there. One, not giving all the glory and praise to Donald Trump for what's happening, but for God. But recognizing that Donald Trump is doing good things for the African-American community and the nation as a whole. And she disagrees strongly and says all that news about him being a racist is absolutely fake. He cares about all Americans. But here's something else she raised that the left will have you gloss over. Do not stop here. Keep moving. Don't hesitate. I read through it a moment ago, and maybe some of you didn't know it, and maybe some of you caught it, and maybe you caught it there in her remarks as well. Let me hear part of that speech again. I mean, her remarks again, Clinton, Alveda King. Let me hear just part of her again. I'll tell you when to stop it.
He's making America great again for everybody, including African Americans, women, babies in the womb, sick people.
Right there. Babies in the womb. Babies in the womb. She has also said, my father would not have been in favor of abortion. And he would recognize it for what it was. Eugenics. Basically, genocide of the black race because many black babies have been aborted using the propaganda from the right to choose. She says one thing that my father would not accept would be abortions. So when I see the left go on and on about how Donald Trump is a racist, not the left, but I mean those who choose to take that tack, ask them what's their view on abortion. And if they're all about abortion, and say the woman has a right regardless, then you can question everything else about them. Or not. I'm going to fight that battle for you. I'll leave it for you, but at least take note of it on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Want to take a break? Want to come back? I want to talk about a young woman facing a horrific future, and the doctors were not sure what was wrong, and they misdiagnosed.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. to you, Leah.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This next story, I could make it, and maybe it does have something to do with socialized medicine. I don't want to directly lay that claim, but it happened to involve the British medical system and a British woman. But again, I'm more interested in the story of the patient, and you can't completely separate where the patient is being treated, and does it raise questions about socialized medicine not doing a proper job? Because while she is being mistreated under the British social system, she ended up going to, I take it back. She ended up staying in Bristol for some surgery. I was thinking she went to the University of Pittsburgh, but I just see this as a quote from University of Pittsburgh Medical Center about her condition. All right, let me back up on this story here. This is a 22-year-old that she said, I sensed my health problems were not being caused by mental illness, and yet it was frustrating by doctors that my symptoms were caused by mental illness. They had, for a long time, diagnosed her after she had migraine and psychosis. The psychosis being doctors saying it's just anxiety, depression, possibly bipolar disorder. It's all in your head that you're having migraine headaches and you have a mental illness. It's all due to you. And she said, I'm quite an emotional person. I flip between happy and sad moods, just part of my quirky personality. But then her condition kept getting worse. She began having seizures, began having trouble walking. Took 2 years. 2 years after they were treating her for, it's all in your head, to actually get a full and proper evaluation and treatment. Now, the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, talking about what they found in her brain, was basically a rare, typically non-cancerous tumor that forms in the fluid-filled spaces of your brain. So it's that rare. So I can understand maybe they just didn't have the ability to determine it, but then again, is that a slam against socialized medicine, or is it just doctors not being fully aware and not getting, I don't know. The bottom line is, this young woman was suffering. She wasn't sure she was ever going to be well again and be able to live a healthy life. Prior to that, she would horseback ride. She enjoyed swimming, did all kinds of things. But this continued to debilitate her. She had a boyfriend, but he was probably struggling with, one moment you're happy, next moment you're so depressed. Well, I don't know. Well, it was not mental. Finally, they found this non-cancerous tumor. They say it's about a tennis ball-sized brain tumor she had. That would cause migraines. And then, of course, changes in behavior. Wasn't mental. She was suffering. In fact, she had surgery followed by 8 weeks of intensive radiotherapy after she suffered what she called a major seizure. She said her health ailments now are doing much better, but at that time they were affecting her deeply, deeply. And she said, basically, the way I was going at that time, I didn't know what my future would be. I wasn't even sure I wanted a future. And she said, then when they found out what it was, when they found out it's a brain tumor that was being misdiagnosed and blamed on just me thinking I was in trouble, then actually having the facts, my diagnosis changed my outlook on life. I'm not sure whether or not I want kids. I fear that they might inherit it. or they will grow up and see me suffering from some kind of symptoms. She had to give up her driver's license. They won't let her drive. She said, I've already lost my independence. I don't know what else I can lose at this point. If they'd found it earlier, you think it might have made a difference? I don't know. I'm not a medical expert by stretch of the imagination, but they do know that during that time she lost 30 pounds, had to relearn how to walk and talk, trying to reset her life. The outlook is better. Maybe it'd be better yet if they had diagnosed it earlier instead of saying, oh, it's just in your mind. Do you have friends or relatives or even you suffering and nobody's listening, nobody's paying attention, or no one seems to get it? You're dealing with it all the time. I feel for you. I truly do. So you can keep her and others like that in your prayers. Again, we thank you for joining us. Quentin tells me we're having a little trouble getting our podcast posted at Larry Connors USA Facebook today for some reason. We'll try to get that resolved, and these programs will be up as a podcast as soon as we can. Tomorrow, back here, book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.